Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, with the cost of living squeeze being felt by many households, most indeed across the country, you might be coming up against it with home insurance and car insurance. But what about when it comes to insuring our furry friends? Well, here to tell us more about pet insurance, the pros and cons, I'm joined by Dara Cassidy from bonkers.ie and Hannah Timlin of Village Vets. Lovely to have you both here. Dara, the first thing people will ask is it worth it? Is it worth investing in this?
I guess the best answer, rather than me saying yes or no, is for people to ask themselves if something happened to their cat or their dog and it needed emergency surgery that was going to cost maybe 1, 2, or 3,000 euro or even more, would they be able to pay for it? And if the answer is a resounding no, you don't have that type of cash lying around, then the answer is yes, you probably do need pet insurance. It can though range quite a lot in price. When you do a quick search, you'll see these deals for as little as 10 euro a month, perhaps, which seems really, really great value. But if you have a particular type of breed and if you're looking for a particular type of cover, so the best type of cover that's going to pay out for accidents as well as illnesses, you could be looking at maybe 50 or 60 euro a month. So it's not an insignificant amount of money. But in general, yes, I think it is worth it because we treat our cats and dogs now as part of our families. Mm. We love them. And as I said, you have to ask yourself, if something happens, you know, there's no public healthcare system for dogs, unfortunately. There is for humans, so you can kind of take the risk, but there isn't for animals.
Right. So you very kindly went and had a look at this, as you said, and when you search online, you'll see the different prices. What did you find in terms of what is and isn't covered?
So the main thing to think about, well, first of all, the breed of dog that you have is going to have a big impact on the price that you pay for insurance. And particularly pedigree dogs are unfortunately quite popular, but are often host for a whole, you know, host of problems, as Hannah will maybe discuss in a little bit. So that'll have a big impact on the price that you pay. But most policies will cover for at least an accident, but only the more expensive policies will cover for illnesses. So that's a big thing to think about. Most will also cover as well for third-party liability cover. So that's if your dog, your cat, for example, injures someone or causes an accident and you end up getting sued, maybe up to 200 or 250,000 euro worth of cover would be there. And when I was chatting to some dog owners, they were almost saying that was almost the reason they chose the policy more so than anything else. And then also some policies will cover for death. So there'll be a payout if the dog dies, if the dog is stolen, there'll be a payout for a reward. There'll be holiday cover, cancellation cover. So for example, if you've booked a holiday and something happens to your dog or your cat and you have to cancel your holiday, there will be a payout as well. But always do as well, read the terms and conditions. I'd love to be able to say something a bit more exciting than read the terms and conditions. But when it comes to any type of insurance, whether it's pet insurance, home insurance, car insurance, take the time to shop around and look at the key information.
Do your homework.
Yeah.
So Hannah, from your point of view as a vet, do most people have pet insurance now when they come in?
So it's definitely something I've noticed in the last, so I would have started about 10 years ago and it definitely wasn't very kind of common to have people with pet insurance. Now, when I'm kind of in consults, I am noticing that more and more people are more aware of it. So they're getting it or they're coming in and they're asking me questions about it. So when you get somebody with a new kitten or a new puppy, they're now kind of saying, okay, what do you think? So it's definitely become more of a conversation in the last few years. And I think from my point of view, as a vet, when you are kind of dealing with things like the unfortunate, we've been hit by a car, you know, or a C-section or something like that, when, you know, the financial discussion is always going to be really, really difficult and delicate, especially in an emergency situation. So the insurance, you do notice that people are a little bit more kind of relieved that, okay, it helps them with their decision making. It's very difficult when things come down to finances.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're the one who has to have the conversation with the pet owner when something is wrong with the animal. You've got to do a series of tests and they really quickly add up, don't they?
100%. And that's definitely something as a vet that it is tricky. You're looking at an animal that, you know, could be coming in and not eating for some reason. There's so many reasons that they could be not eating. You do need to do a certain amount of tests to start working down through your list. And, they do add up because there's several tests. But this is the other thing I think I've noticed as well in the last 10 years is that the sophistication of the healthcare that we're able to provide our animals now has really, really come a long way. So they could come in the morning for a cat not eating and you could have a blood test done, an ultrasound, you could have x-rays. We're now getting advanced imaging, you've got CT. So all of these things can be done done much quicker.
Yeah, they quickly mount, though, the costs of all those tests, don't they?
They do, absolutely. Yeah, they do. But again, it helps you kind of with your thorough workup. So that's where your insurance, it's those kind of unforeseen things, the sudden illness or the accident, that is where it's going to help. So your kind of life-saving surgery that can be done there and then that day after you've done the tests, that's where the insurance is right. going to help you.
But you have to pay up front yourself, do you, for those tests and treatments claim it back?
100%. So that is one thing I do remind people, is that you are going to be, you know, you will pay and then you claim afterwards. So as Dara said, reading the fine print is absolutely vital, because is there going to be an excess? Do you have to pay X amount first and then they give you kind of money back? So it's all these things that you have to be prepared for. You are paying on the day and then the insurance claims it back, and you just have to make sure what amount they will pay back for
and
you.
Dara mentioned that there'll be different breeds where you're almost guaranteed that you'll be in with the vet. Is that, when you see certain breeds, do you say to owners, you definitely need health insurance?
Yes,
for that
100%.
Pet?
And especially if they're coming in at the early stages where they're saying, we're thinking of getting another dog, or another cat, I do urge them to go, well, just do a little bit of research around the breeds. You know, there is a lot of like dogs that are popular maybe from films and TV and people get them, but they don't do any research. Like we were talking about it, that, you know, pugs are, you know, they're a lovely dog, but unfortunately they will have issues. You know, they suffer with chronic eye problems. And with eye problems, you could be coming into the vet kind of every couple of days, or you could be coming in and until the ulcer is, you know, cleared every couple of weeks. So there is, you know, the insurance, you have to make sure, is that breed covered? Is that breed covered for the conditions that are predisposed? Should you also look at maybe a lot of clinics, like we would do in a Village Vets, we have pet health plans. That could cover your consults, you know, your vaccines, your blood tests, a kind of a yearly one. So is that something that you should look at as well? Like, is in for certain breeds, does a pet health plan suit kind of better? But again, please, yeah, it's something I'd always say, it's just research the breed.
You really need to think about what you're getting into. Well, we take some of these questions. So Emer's in Donegal, and Emer has a lab collie who will be 8 on Saturday. The dog is still very healthy, but they don't have any health insurance yet. And they have a 6-month-old lab collie. So obviously this is in their minds now, the insurance question. Could they get a policy for both? And I think that's a situation a lot of people will be in, where the dog or cat might be 6, 7, 8, 9. Is it worth looking at insurance at that stage?
It is, but the problem is that most insurance policies won't take on a cat or a dog in particular once it reaches a certain age.
Okay.
And that can be around 6 to 8, depending on the breed. So if you get the insurance, and I'd usually recommend that if people are going to get the insurance, that they get it when the dog or the cat is as young as possible. And they're not too young, because usually there won't be a payout within the first few weeks. The puppy needs to survive, I guess, into adulthood. But once they're maybe a few months old, you should look at it, and you should get what's maybe called kind of continuous or whole of life cover. And then if you have that, as long as you keep on paying the premiums, you know, you can still continue with your insurance until the dog is 9, 10, 11. But if you're looking to take out pet insurance for the very, very first time and your dog is already 7 or 8, a lot of insurers won't insure you at all.
Right. And if they do, I'd imagine it would be quite expensive, like very different to the figures we were talking about earlier on.
Yeah. So, I mean, in the human world, we have what's called community rating. So everyone, regardless of gender or health status, gets charged the same, all other things being equal. That's not the same in the pet world. So depending on the type of dog that you have, the breed, and also their age, that's going to impact hugely on the cost. So just in that example, unfortunately, she probably may not be able to get insurance for the 8-year-old, but she should for the younger dog.
Now, Kevin has a pet insurance renewal, which is due for a 10-year-old British short-haired cat who's very healthy. The quote is €375, which Kevin reckons sounds expensive. And he's wondering, should he shop around, or is this the norm? Based on your research, what do you think of that price?
I mean, I would always say shop around. Yeah. Again, this is the same type of advice that I'd give for all types of insurance. With pet insurance, there isn't, though, unfortunately, quite as much choice as there is with other types of insurance.
Are there 4 or 5 providers?
Around, yeah, 4 or 5. I mean, Allianz is a big one that a lot of people go with. And sometimes with Allianz, you'll get a discount, for example, if you also have home insurance or car insurance. So that's something to think about. It might look like there's more insurers as well, Claire, because sometimes they're just all using the same insurer. So on Pust sells pet insurance, but it's not underwriting the policy themselves. But I still would say absolutely, still always shop around.
Okay, listen, my time is up. It's flown away with us today. With Hannah and Dara, thank you so much for being with us.